Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Hi, we are here from Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. I'm Laura Della Corte, and we are with our grand foy for The Maiden in the section Giornata degli Autori. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah. Well, this movie is answered the question how to deal with pain and sorrow and showing how to turn, you know, something bad into something that can push you on your life. And is this, do you want to use this kind of exploration to find a way to show us the psyche of a person, of the main protagonist when he loses Kyle in the accident?
I think I really wanted to make a film about teenagers that spoke at eye level to them, to tell a story about grief and loss, but also about friendship and connection. And I think that the film both deals with the pain and the discomfort of that situation, but also tries to move towards something more hopeful or more positive in the end, where the characters can see the world differently through this really terrible experience with grief.
Well, at the beginning, when there is the accident to Kyle, I was thinking about an old movie that's one of my favorites, that is Fried Green Tomatoes. I don't know if you know it.
Yes.
And I would like to ask if you have, you know, taken some inspiration, or it was just, you know, some kind of,
No, I think there are many influences for this film, but that was not one of them. But we really were thinking a lot about some of the films of Gus Van Sant, especially the Death Trilogy, Elephant and Jerry and Last Days. Those are some of my favorite films, and also our cinematographer Kelly Jeffrey and I are huge Harris Savides fans. So this was something that we were interested in trying to perhaps be influenced by, but also try to create our own rhythm and tone from that groundwork from Gus Van Sant.
Did you get the inspiration based on something real, or was just imagination?
Yeah, the film, I think it's a mix of both things that are from my life or the lives of people that I know, friends and family members, and also imagined things. But I think that the location in the film, the ravine and also the train bridge, were extremely pivotal in sort of the script writing development process, and seeing the tags on the bridge, the graffiti writing, and how there was kind of this unspoken story or myth behind each one. And so that space and the train, this sort of feeling of this prehistoric industrial machine that had such weight and gravity, you feel the earth shake when it goes by, all of these things, and remembering the time that I spent there when I was younger, were all very influential to the development of the story.
Okay, it's like, you know, a passage to another world, something like that.
Yeah.
And the very first scene with the cat, it has a meaning that he's a black cat, actually. And did you want it to, I don't know, to give some kind of, I don't know, it's like superstition, like here, you know, for the black cat? Did you want to give this type of message?
I think I really love the image of the black cat, because it has such a iconic and loaded sort of understanding in culture that I think crosses over to a lot of different places. So I love the idea of just that image. But I think something that I was really excited to do was to sort of set up the expectation for these two male characters as these rambunctious, sort of lawless teenagers that you don't know if they're going to do something very bad or, you know, something obscene to this cat, but then to subvert the expectation of the audience very quickly and show the sort of complexity of the masculine characters in the film, which was very important to me as I was writing and thinking about my adolescence as well.
Okay. According to that, was it difficult to, you know, represent a real teenager? Like, you know, the scene that in me the most was like when he was suffering and all around him there are people who can manage to be empathetic with their sufferance, and in some way it's like it makes you think that when something bad happened to you, it's a chance to go deeper inside you, and but it's some kind you lose everything around you because other people doesn't understand this kind of, you know, digging inside yourself. And it's the first time that we don't see him with the cell phone, or he's different from the beginning and at the end of the film. So would you like to, I don't know, say something about that, how to draw a real character that is a teenager nowadays and let us see the sufferance and the empathetic life that we don't always get?
Totally. I think that the teenagers in the film are in between everything. They're in between childhood and adulthood, nature and the industrial world or the suburban world, and also between life and death in different ways throughout the film. But I think that the three lead actors did such an amazing job of just channeling their own experiences and sort of living their own experiences with life into the characters in the film. And I think that Marcel, who plays Colton, and also Haley, who plays Whitney in the second half of the film, did such a great job at showing that sort of interior process that's going on without using dialogue at all often. And the silences in the film, I think, are some of the most profound pieces to me, at least when I watch it.
Yeah, because it gives you time to think about their feelings. I mean, it's not that you have to explain them, you know, talking and talking, but it's like you see them and that's it. And I was curious about the fact that you put the missing girl diary, like, it's like a metaphor, you know, of recollecting memories of someone, but always recollecting yours too, because it's like when you read a diary, at least for me, and I see the day and maybe the time when you were writing, and you talk what was I in that period and what I was doing. So it's like, you know, some kind of time machine, and that's, I think, some kind of instruments to introduce your, you know, your journey inside the boy memory and the friendship, because we see very little at the beginning, but we had the chance to understand how deep it was for him.
Yeah, I think that that's a really interesting point, and the journal is very much this piece of history or this record of this other person's life, and I think both of these characters that are sort of the make up the first and second parts of the film are going through something that is extremely alienating in their lives, and a journal is such a personal thing that for Colton's character to find somebody else's experience with loneliness and to be able to have something to relate to, I think was a way to transport the audience to a different place.
Different world. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for your time. And I'm Laura Della Corte, Fred Film Radio, Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.